Good morning, everyone. We are back with this week's episode of the First in Tech podcast. I am your host, sports editor Andrew Schnicker.
And I'm your other host, assistant sports editor Alex Sawyer.
The gist of today's episode is going to be basketball, but we are going to revert to our football roles for a little bit to start off here. Alec, we've got a contract to discuss here.
We do have a contract to discuss. Dave Doran signing an extension with NC State, picking the Wolfpack over the offer from Tennessee. So Dave comes back for 5 more years. So that's something for NC State fans to look forward to, I guess.
Yeah, definitely. And I mean, that Tennessee coaching search has just turned into an absolute dumpster fire. As they continue moving down their list, it kind of did get tense for a little bit there when they, especially that Wednesday night before Dave signed the extension, when it was reported that Tennessee had actually made an offer. Dave decides to stay at NC State for, I believe, about $1.5 million a year less. And I really think this is good for the Wolfpack. I think you've seen what Dave can do in terms of recruiting players, developing players, when you look at what he does with like a Bradley Chubb. I mean, you go from no ACC wins in Dave's first year to 6-2 this year. That's your best ACC season since 1994, so it's easy to see that growth. You know, they kind of talk about you really have to give a head coach 2 full recruiting cycles to see what he can do. Dave's had 1. You saw that step forward this year. Now, coming into next year, you've already got another strong recruiting class. You've got Peyton Wilson, who you just got, #3 recruit in the state. You got guys like Devin Leary, Ricky Persons, Aleem McNeil. So really, I think being able to see what Dave is going to be able to do with this next class is really a positive for NC State football.
Yeah, I love this from NC State. I think this is something they needed to go out and do. And it's something that was reported earlier in the year that they were working on getting more years for Dave Doran. And then the Tennessee job comes in and he kind of has that leverage to be able to negotiate with. And he's able to get the contract he wants. And it is huge for NC State because you talk about that recruiting class coming in that you probably lose some of those guys' commitments if you lose the head coach. So that's really big to give him more years because this program has gone in the right direction. They've improved. They've gotten better under Dave Doran, and that's something that's been really positive. So I love this for the Wolfpack. I think this is a really good step for NC State to continue improving as a football team.
Yeah, and just one more thing on football. NC State goes to the Sun Bowl, which, I mean, fans are disappointed because it's in El Paso. People want to go. That's a 26-hour drive. But really, it's still a Tier 1 bowl game. You're still playing a good Pac-12 team. I mean, this is, you know, maybe not what the Pac wanted or what people wanted in terms of being able to go to somewhere like Florida or New York, but this really is a good bowl for NC State.
No, it is, and I think it's a different bowl. It's a step up. It's not the Belk Bowl again, so that's something to maybe be happy about. But, you know, you get 6 ACC wins. You have that season, and you get the Sun Bowl, and I know El Paso is way out there, and people aren't going to be able to travel to it, and it's obscure, but it is a good game, and this is a good step for NC State.
Yeah, and I just really do think that NC State football is kind of taking that step, and it was important that they be able to continue on that path with the same person that's led them. But speaking of new people to lead, let's transition into our next thing. For the first time on this podcast, we are going to talk a little hoops. It's a new era at NC State with Kevin Keats coming in. Alec, what have you kind of seen so far from this team to start this year?
Yeah, I think it's always hard to transition when you have a head coaching switch, and especially when you have the players on this team that come over, but I've actually been impressed to a point with this team. Their ability to be in games, obviously the Arizona win was huge. Even if Arizona isn't as good as maybe we thought they were, they're still a really good team. But even in some of the other games, they've played well at points. They've shown that they can compete, and I think in a first year with a new head coach, with a bunch of just inconsistency in the roster, with some graduate transfers coming in, they've been able to do better than I thought they would start out.
Yeah, and I think the thing you've got to look at too is this is still mostly Mark Gottfried's team. You know, I was on the PAC TV podcast with our good friend Ethan Berry last night, and he kind of referred to this as year zero. Next year is really the first year you're going to start to see this with more of Keats' players than Gottfried's players. But, you know, I really have liked the way this team's played. I mean, you go and you beat, at the time, the #2 team in the country in Arizona. Now, they've taken a bit of a stumble, but I think at the end of the season, come March, that's going to be a win over a top 15 team. You do drop the 2 games to UNI and Tennessee. those aren't bad teams. Tennessee has had a good year so far. You and I, pretty much always, it seems like, in the NCAA tournament. So really, I like where this team is going, especially on defense. I mean, it's a new thing, and it's a nice thing to watch an NC State basketball team play defense. And I was looking last night. NC State is forcing 18.33 turnovers per game. Right now, that's 19th in the country and first in the entire ACC. Opponents are only shooting 431 against NC State. You maybe want to see the team pick up a little on the offensive side of the ball. They're shooting 475, 326 from three, which with the number of three-pointers that Kevin Keats likes to take, you maybe want to see that jump up a little bit. But for the most part, I think this team is going in the right direction. And who are some of the kind of key guys that you've seen this year, Alec?
Yeah, I absolutely agree that it is going in the right direction. The defense has been a lot more fun to watch. The full court press at times has been pretty dangerous. But there's a number of guys that have come in and are starting to make differences. One of the main ones, Al Freeman, the graduate transfer from Baylor. He leads the team with a little over 15 points per game, but he also gives State something it didn't really have coming in, and a guy that can be a scorer, can isolate, can create points for himself. And I think that's what Al Freeman has been for this team. I think as the offense starts to develop a little bit more, maybe that role gets taken away from him a little bit. But for this first few months, he's been a really big part in keeping this team afloat, just being able to kind of score for himself and create baskets.
I definitely think there's value in bringing in those experienced graduate transfers. You got another experienced guy who the Pac didn't have last year, Lenard Freeman, a senior forward, has looked really good, 13 points and 5 rebounds a game. You know, the bigs on this team have been impressed. I mean, Omer Yurtseven, who kind of was a disappointment last year with his potential, really starting to step up more, 12.7 points and 7 rebounds per game. Really from that Battle for Atlantis tournament on, I think Yurtseven has been really impressive. Torin Doran, which the small forward in a Keats offense is always going to be productive, but he seems to have taken a step. He's averaging 13.1 points, about 6 rebounds a game. You've got guards playing well. Markel Johnson is getting better at not turning the ball over and setting up his teammates. Braxton Beverly, who the NCAA, late to the party, but does make the right decision to clear and allow to play. He's been a good piece off the bench. So this team does have pieces. You know, it's unfortunate you do lose Darius Hicks to a torn ACL. Abdul Malik Abu kind of slowly working his way back from that knee injury. I think they're probably being cautious ahead of ACC play. But this maybe isn't the deepest roster, but it does have guys that can contribute.
No, it's not super deep. And again, you mentioned the Hicks injury, and that really hurts because that is one of the guys that could have come off the bench. But a lot of guys are playing well, and I think going back to Yurtseven, he's a completely different player under Keats. Last year, he just wasn't aggressive, wouldn't get under the basket. This year, I mean, he's getting rebounds, he's picking up points under, he's really kind of filling that role of a stretch forward too, been knocking down threes. And also, you look at Lenard Freeman's play, especially with Abu missing time, he's been someone that's stepped up really big down low. So those bigs are playing better. You have some of those guards. Torin Doran, I think, has been really good. Sam Hunt's had games in which he's shot the ball really well, and that's something you want to look for. And Beverly as well, and that Arizona win was really good, and he's had some other good games where he shot well. So not super deep. You don't have much to go to on the bench, but the players on this team are playing fairly well right now, and that's a good sign for the Wolfpack.
Yeah, and a guy who definitely knows a lot about what it takes on a team like this, guy who played for Wolfpack basketball, is now working in the media for Pack Pride covering them. Former NC State player Chris Corciani Jr. is our guest today, so without further ado, we are going to bring Chris on. Guys, we are on here today with former NC State basketball player Chris Corciani Jr., now of Pack Pride. Chris, how you doing today?
Doing great. How are you guys?
We're great. Great to have you up here. You know, now that you've kind of switched over from from being on the court to the media, what are kind of your general observations of the team that you've seen so far this year?
It's a lot different from being on the end of the bench to sitting where the media is. But I get to see the games from a different perspective now. I would say this team specifically, there's a lot to learn. I think we're still kind of figuring out this team with a new coaching staff, a lot of new guys on the team. And I think they're still kind of feeling out what they're good at and what they need to work on. We've seen inconsistency from you know, the 3-point range, and we've seen guys like Omer Yurtseev and Lenard Freeman surprise a lot of people so far. And so I think moving forward, we hadn't played the toughest non-conference schedule, but I think we're still kind of in that feel-out process right now with NC State basketball.
Yeah, and it's always tough to switch coaches and have that big transition coming in. I mean, what is that like for players? Obviously, you weren't part of a coaching change here at NC State, but you know a lot of these guys. You've been around this group of players. I mean, what is that like to have that coaching change? What does that do for players' mindsets?
Well, I actually did do spring workouts with Kevin Keats, so I did kind of get a little taste of the coaching switch. And when it first happens, it's really hard. And it's hard for the players specifically, but it's also tough. It's a challenge for the new staff to re-recruit these guys to stay on the same team. And I thought Kevin Keats did an amazing job. He's a very personable coach. And the first thing his goal was to keep – make sure Malik doesn't leave, make sure and Omer Yurtseev doesn't leave, to keep Markel Johnson. And I thought he handled it about as well as any coach could have handled it. And I thought that the transition from coach to coach was probably as smooth as it could have gone. I don't think anybody transferred out. Maverick Rowan did leave early, and I mean, that was a little questionable in my opinion. But for the most part, I thought Keats handled it very well with the coaching transition.
And what's kind of, you know, you being around this team and kind of talking to your old teammates, especially guys that are still on this team that you played with under Mark Gottfried, what is kind of the sense that you've gotten from them about Keats, you know, from them as players? What do they feel like him as a coach?
The energy level. And that consists of practice, workouts, even during the games. They've all mentioned just how you have to ramp it up another level as far as your effort. And I think we're starting to see that on the basketball court as far as, you know, it, just watching them play on defense. It's just, it's a whole nother level of intensity. And I think whenever I speak to the guys now, that's really the biggest thing they bring up. And it's no knock on Gottfried. Gottfried had a good system, the guard cut offense. But I think Keats just brings like a new level of preparation when it comes to the defensive side.
Yeah, I definitely think there's been a big change defensively for this team. A lot of aggression, some of the full court pressing. But when you look at this team, when you look at the roster they have, what are the strengths when you see it, the overwhelming strengths that this team needs to rely on?
Well, Keats likes to run the four guards, one bigs, but I think the strengths for this team is our front court. And I don't think they're getting quite enough touches. You see Omer Yurtseev go about, I think, 8-for-8 or 7-for-9, something crazy. Lenard Freeman had good numbers, but they're not getting enough touches down low. And you could probably credit that to Keats's style of play, what he wants to run in the future. And he wants to be very guard-heavy, get a lot of shots up. And we just don't quite have the guard depth to do what Kevin Keats wants to do in the future. And that will come with the recruiting and stuff. But I've been very impressed with Braxton Beverly, you know, coming in as a freshman. Usually, most of the time, you're going to be a little timid. Even if you are a good shooter, you're going to be kind of second-guessing your shots. And he came in right away from a two-game suspension, and then he went 1-for-11. So he wasn't holding back. He knows he's a good shooter. Markel Johnson, we need to see a little bit more consistency from him. But the guards are good. LeVar Batts he's a work in progress. The jump shot's not quite there, but he's there. He's got the energy. He plays good defense. I would say definitely the front court, though, if we're going to break down what is the strength for NC State, especially when Malik Abu gets back. They've got good weapons down low, and I think we're starting to see the emergence of Omer Yurtseev down low in the post.
When you look at this roster, too, What is kind of in your mind the weakness? What's like, you know, an area where you think if something's going to hold this team back, this is it. This is where they're lacking. This is where they need work.
Perimeter shooting, I think. You'll see some games against Arizona where they're hitting shots, and they're capable of doing that. You've got Al Freeman, Sam Hunt, Braxton Beverly. They have good shooters, but can we see that on a consistent game-to-game basis? I don't know. I don't think they've shown that yet. They've shown that they can hit some shots. They can have games where they get hot, but can they do that for a full year, especially when we hit ACC play? Time will tell, but I would say definitely that. And then who's going to be their go-to? You know, Al Freeman has been the guy. He's been getting the most shots on the team. But they need more production from Al Freeman, more efficiency, as far as you can't have a 3-for-10 shooting day. You can't be 3-for-15. If they're going to have a go-to, which I think it is Al Freeman, I think he's shown in the beginning of the year that it's going to be him. They need more from him if they want to have any kind of chance in the ACC conference play.
Yeah, and going off that a little bit, you mentioned Al Freeman as well as Sam Hunt, and I think that was one thing that Keats did this offseason that really helped make this transition smoother, is go out and get those graduate transfers that can play right away. But when you look at those two guys as well as Abu Leonard Freeman, how valuable is it to have older guys, experienced basketball players on this team when you're making that transition, and also with a team with so many young players coming in?
Cannot speak enough about that. Keats coming in, getting Al Freeman, getting Sam Hunt, and then you look at Leonard Freeman, he's been here for 5 years now. Malik Abu, he's been around the block. To go along with the youth, well, if they don't have those guys, the Sam Hunt, the Al Freemans, this team's going to be really bad this year. And just that kind of leadership for guys like Braxton Beverly, LeVar Batts, even Markel Johnson. Markel Johnson's young, man. He reclassified up. He should be a freshman in college right now. So having those guys, that might be the difference from them competing on an every game basis to if they don't have them, then this team will struggle very, very badly. They could be like a Pittsburgh if they don't have those guys.
So going off of all this that we've kind of talked about with the guys that are on this team, what this team can do under Coach Keats, what would kind of be your expectations for where this team finishes up this year? If you had to kind of handicap it, what do you think happens in ACC play as the season goes on and where this team ends up when it's all said and done?
That's a good question. I think that they're going to beat some teams that they have no business beating, and we saw that with Arizona. I know Arizona lost the next two games in the Bahamas, but they're going to end up being a pretty good team. They're going to be a NCAA tournament team when they figure it out. Riley Atkins is hurt. But with the ACC, I don't see how any reason why they can't beat a UNC at home this year. They could sneak one against UNC, but then – again, they could have an off shooting night and then lose to a team like Clemson, lose to a team like Wake Forest, Pittsburgh. They're going to have some growing pains, and I think we're going to see that along the road. I'm going to be optimistic with this. I'm going to say around 500 is not out of the realm, in my opinion. I think maybe 6-7 wins in the ACC is probably more realistic, maybe 5 if they struggle. But if we're thinking really optimistic, I see around 500. I think they can do that with this team. They have the energy, but Will the big stay out of foul trouble, and will Malik get healthy enough where he can play consistently without having that knee injury linger? I think that's a big question.
Yeah, definitely going to need all hands on deck for ACC play. We know what a tough league that is, but I think that's about all we have for you today, Chris. Thank you so much for coming on our show today and offering your time and expertise on NC State basketball.
Andrew and Alec, I had a blast. I've never been up here on the third floor in Witherspoon, but this place is pretty cool.
Yeah, we enjoy it up here, but thank you again, Chris.
Thank you.
Well, Alec, that was great. It's always great to have, you know, guys on here that can offer more perspective, and especially with Chris, you know, being a former NC State basketball player, really hearing his takes on this year's team and NC State basketball was interesting for sure.
Yeah, it's really cool to get that perspective, because that's one that's different than even we've had before for a guy that was on the team and knows these players and knows the system and even did workouts with Keats, as he said. So that was a really interesting insight to get on that.
Yeah, and that was something I didn't even know about that he did, which is cool. But, you know, we kind of heard his expectations for this team. What are you, with ACC play, you know, kind of getting closer, I think it's safe to say at this point, NC State should run the table in these last four non-conference games. UNCG is kind of a tough opponent, but they should be okay. I think the big questions going into ACC play, there was like Chris mentioned, can they be consistent? Can they hit enough shots? Do they have the depth? What do you expect to see from this team in conference play?
You know, I agree with what Chris said about they're going to win some games that they have no business winning, but they're also going to have some that are really questionable. And, I mean, once you get into ACC play, that's so hard. That's so difficult for anyone to go into that and win games, especially a team that's inexperienced and young. And if they're not hitting shots, I mean, 500 in ACC play, I think, would be very generous to give this team. I think maybe a few games under is probably what they can accomplish. But that's not bad for this year zero, as we said, under Keats. That's, I mean, if you win a few games that are games that you probably shouldn't win, maybe a Notre Dame at home, a Louisville at home, Chris said Carolina at home, you can win a couple of those and hang your hat on that and maybe make the NIT, get that postseason experience, and then build for next year. Because in the first year here, this isn't an NCAA tournament team, I don't think.
No, I don't see this team making the NCAA tournament. Like Chris said, if they can find that consistency, get a few games bounced their way, maybe they find their way to 500 in the ACC and they're on the bubble, but I don't see it. I think this is probably a 5-6-7 ACC win team. Again, you probably will get a few nice wins in your hat on, like a Notre Dame at home or a Louisville at home, or maybe even go on the road and beat like a Virginia. But I just don't think they're going to have the consistency game in, game out that you need in the toughest basketball league in college basketball. There is no question of that, that you need to be successful in that. But I think you're going to see growth. I think you're going to see steps. And I think this is kind of a year that if they make the tournament, great. Totally exceeds all expectations. That's a great year. If they don't, it's not the end of the world. You're building something. You're just kind of trying to take those first steps under Keats. Next year, you're going to have a good recruiting class come in, more of Keats' players, and that's when you really fully start to see what this team can do.
Yeah, them not making the tournament this year is not at all a disappointment of any sort. You don't expect it, but they are building, and they probably can win some games. That's something to look forward to, I think, if you're an NC State fan.
Yeah, and that's all we've got for you guys today. First in Tech is likely going to be taking a little hiatus for at least a couple weeks. Probably going to be back that first week in January after classes resume. We may try to get an episode in before then, but I'm not sure. If we don't, I would like to wish all of our listeners happy holidays to you and yours. For all of our student listeners, good luck on any exams you might have remaining. Power through. You can do it. We're almost there. We're almost done. Thanks for listening, everyone. Again, I'm your host, Technician Sports Editor Andrew Schnitker.
I'm your other host, Assistant Sports Editor Alex Sawyer.
Thanks for listening, guys. Happy holidays.